meeting of the House Rules Committee for June 22nd to order. And with that, was it 8:32?
It's 8:33.
I would like to open a work session for Senate Bill 833. Erin, will you describe the measure? And Representative Greenlick, will you come up?
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 833 requires Oregon Health Authority to give coordinated care organizations at least 60 days advance notice of any amendments proposed to existing contracts or to contracts to be renewed between Oregon Health Authority, coordinated care organizations, directs Oregon Health Authority to submit proposed terms or proposed amendments to coordinated care organization contract to appropriate federal agency for review and approval in no less than 135 days prior to contract expiration. You have a dash A9 amendment. It removes the requirement directing Oregon Health Authority to submit proposed terms or proposed amendments to CCO contract to appropriate federal agency for review and approval in no less than 135 days prior to contract expiration. You have a no revenue and a no fiscal impact on the A9 amendments, Madam Chair.
Representative Greenlee.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I'm State Representative Mitch Greenlee, House 633. And I'm here simply to put something on the record, which I'll do again on the floor when the bill is carried on the floor. This is a very delicate dance to create the negotiation between OHA and the advocates for the CCOs. And the agreement that finally brought the bill here was what was the dash three amendments to the original bill, the dash A9 to the current bill. That amendment requires that OHA give CCOs 60 days to evaluate any change proposals in the any proposed changes in the contract. I'm here to say that the legislative intent, 60 days actually means 60 days. There's apparently some ambiguity about whether 60 days meant 120 days or something else. But the fact is, what is intended by that amendment is that it's natural language that OHA has to give a CCO 60 days to review any proposed changes to the contract. That's, I know it sounds like a weird thing to have to come and say, but here I am to say it, and I think it makes at least one of the two parties more comfortable to the agreement they made for these for this amendment. So I am hoping that you will adopt the dash nines and send the bill on. I think that's been agreed to by both parties.
Excellent. Are there any questions? Okay, with that, I'd accept a motion to adopt the dash nines.
Madam Chair, I move the dash A9 amendment to Senate Bill 833A.
Thank you, Madam Chair, for allowing me to testify.
Thank you, Representative Greenlee. Representative Smith-Warner has moved the dash nines be adopted to Senate Bill 833. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none, the motion passes. I'd accept another motion.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 833A to the floor with a do pass as amended recommendation.
Vice Chair Smith-Warner has moved Senate Bill 833A to the floor as a do pass as amended recommendation. Is there any discussion? I will say that we also had these amendments run by Representative Hayden, who had wanted to ensure that he looked at the amendments before we passed them out, and it's my understanding that he's okay with them as written. So with that, is there any objection? Seeing none, motion passes. Representative Greenlick will be the carrier. Close public hearing work session on Senate Bill 833. With that,
I'm gonna get her on the phone.
Okay. Open up a work session, a public hearing and work session on Senate Bill 966. Erin, will you describe the measure?
Yes.
And Mr. Pack, will you please come up to let us hear what you have to say.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 966 requires Oregon Department of Administrative Services to develop and administer or enter into contract with a private entity to develop and administer a training program for members, administrators, or directors of boards, commissions, and small entities of the executive department. The list requirement of training program requires each new member and new administrator or director of board or commission or small entity of executive department to attend training within 6 months of start of member service or administrator or director's employment. There is an emergency clause on this measure. It does come to you with 28 aye votes, and two senators were excused from the floor.
Mr. Pack.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and members of the committee. For the record, Barry Pack, Deputy Chief Operating Officer with the Department of Administrative Services. And Aaron's done a good job outlining the components of the bill. Just a little history here. In 2012, the Secretary of State's Audits Division released an audit, a pretty comprehensive one, on boards and commissions as operated by the executive branch, and really led to some ongoing discussions within the executive branch about how we manage those boards and commissions, how we provide support to them, the value they bring as citizen participation in government, but also some of the risks that are associated with boards and commissions, particularly small entities that have staff or have budgets, and volunteer board members who don't have the necessarily background and experience in budget oversight or personnel oversight or state policies and laws. It's an awful lot to ask. There are 312 boards and commissions that we have currently identified. That's the ongoing number. There's about 30 of them that fit this definition in the bill of small entity. These are boards and commissions that have staff and have budgets. And it's an awful lot to ask those board members to volunteer their time and then also expect them on their own to go figure out what the public meetings laws are, what public records laws are, what accounting procedures should be followed, what personnel policies are best to be followed. And so the purpose behind this bill is to give DAS the coordinating role to make sure that there is a very basic curriculum available, require attendance to that training of all newly appointed board members and executive directors or administrators as a way to begin restoring what we used to have, which was more training prior to some of the past recessionary cuts, and give our board and commission members some support and reduce the risk to the state at the end of the day. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions? Seeing none,
thank you.
I would accept a motion.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 966 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Smith-Warner has moved Senate Bill 966 to the floor with a due adopted recommendation. Is there any discussion? Yes.
Does this have a fiscal?
No.
Thank you.
Is there any other discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, motion passes, and close the hearing on Senate Bill 966. And I'll open public hearing and work session on Senate Bill 832. And Aaron, will you describe the measure? Cheryl Ramirez, do you want to come up and just give us a brief overview of what this bill is? Ms. Ramirez, if you could identify yourself for the record.
Good afternoon, Representative Hoyle, members of the committee. My name is Cheryl Ramirez. I'm the director of the Association of Oregon Community Mental Health Programs.
We're going to have Robin Henderson join.
Okay. Also on the phone, we have Robin Henderson. But Cheryl, continue, please.
Our association supports Senate Bill 832-6 and the -7 technical amendment, particularly because this bill provides a framework for enhancing integration across the health system, increasing access to behavioral health and primary care services in the place where the individual prefers to receive services. We particularly support this bill for two aspects. One is that it includes behavioral health homes, which we believe is a critical component of integrated care for people whose primary diagnoses are mental health or substance use disorders. Even though the majority of CCO members will go to a patient-centered primary care home, some people with severe and persistent mental illness or co-occurring disorders will prefer behavioral health homes when there is a choice. And while these individuals represent a smaller percentage of the total Medicaid population, the cost of care for their complex conditions is a disproportionately higher percentage of total health care costs. And secondly, we believe to get to the health care outcomes that we're striving for in our state, we need all hands on deck. So we need not only the licensed qualified mental health professionals, but we need those unlicensed QMHPs, we call them, working towards licensure. We need qualified mental health associates and even peer support specialists to all work together to perform the essential clinical and support functions for people with complex chronic physical conditions, mental health and substance use disorders, working together to get to those outcomes.
Thank you. Ms. Henderson, could you identify yourself for the record, and do you have some brief testimony?
Yes, thank you, Chair Hoyle and members of the committee. For the record, I'm Robin Henderson. I'm the Chief Behavioral Health Officer out here at St. Charles Health System in Bend, Oregon. And today I'm speaking to you on behalf of the Oregon Psychological Association and many others who have worked really, really hard to bring you a definition of integrated behavioral health and physical health and how that practice would work in Oregon. Senate Bill 832 has been a collaborative effort between a lot of different interests to pave the way for Oregon's communities to integrate mental health and physical health services at the point of care where the patient presents for service and to find viable ways to pay for that. The definition of integrated care in statute is a huge landmark for Oregon. There's not any other definitions in statute anywhere else. And the way that we've been able to tie this, working very closely with Cheryl and her organization, to expand it to include behavioral health homes and make that possible is very much landmark legislation. So I'm very, very pleased to represent that this bill is the outcome of a lot of effort, and I really hope that we can get your support today to move it forward. And I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the panel? Seeing none, thank you so much for joining us, Ms. Henderson.
Thank you.
And Ms. Ramirez. With that?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, we do have a B7 amendment that was referred to. It's a conflict amendment that we received this morning. We do still need to receive the appropriate paperwork on it. We do not have that yet. But to provide assurance to individuals following this bill, it is just a conflict with House Bill 2419. And when we get the paperwork back, we will adopt that amendment and move the bill forward.
Okay. With that, I'd accept a motion.
We cannot move it. We can't. Today.
Okay. Then I will close the hearing on Senate Bill 832. Our plan will be to move that on Wednesday as soon as we get the appropriate paperwork. With that, I will open up a public hearing and work session on Senate Bill 886. Karen.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 886 requires State Fire Marshal, Deputy, or Assistant of State Fire Marshal, or person acting for governmental subdivision who inspects structure and issues citation or order for nonconformity with federal, state, or local fire safety standard to include on citation or order exact reference to law, regulation, rule, or other source of authority that establishes the fire safety standard and plain statement of facts upon which citation or order is based. This measure comes to you from the Senate with 28 aye votes, and it has a no revenue and no fiscal impact, Madam Chair.
Mr. Riggs, do you have brief testimony?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, through record, Doug Riggs on behalf of the Ambulatory Surgery Association of Oregon. We've worked collaboratively with a variety of parties this session and over the last couple sessions with your leadership and others to try to get to the root of a streamlining issue that we face in building codes and healthcare facilities. We have multiple jurisdictions coming in and taking a look at healthcare facilities. Sometimes they have differing opinions on which statutes ought to be enforced and how those are enforced. And so we have embarked on an effort to try to get a better understanding, working with the Fire Marshal, the Building Codes Division, and others. The governor has offered to host a work group in the summer to get all the parties together. We hope to be able to come back in 2016 with a one-stop solution for that. In the meantime, what this bill does is really very simple. It just simply requires that whoever is coming into a facility and issuing a citation be able to cite where in statute or rule the jurisdiction is for enforcing that citation. That's something that hasn't been done in the past universally. I think everyone is in support of this amendment, and in the bill as written. It passed in the Senate, and we'd urge its passage here in the House.
Are there any questions? No, thank you very much. With that, I would accept a motion from either one of you.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 886 to the floor with a do pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Smith Warner has moved Senate Bill 886 to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Seeing none, the motion passes. Close the public hearing and work session. And with that,
699,
cosmetology. So open a work session on Senate Bill 699. Erin, can you describe the measure?
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 699 broadens exemption to allow, without a license from Board of Cosmetology, the application of temporary makeup or styling of hair by method for sole purpose of preparing individuals for professional film or video performance or theatrical performance. It specifies health licensing office may develop and disseminate guidelines to ensure sanitation, hygiene, and best practices are followed. There is an emergency clause. You have a -A7 amendment. It adds specific cosmetology techniques that someone preparing an individual for professional photography who does not possess a cosmetology license is allowed to do in order to prepare that person. It specifies a person may braid hair, apply hairspray, or hold cream to hair, or style hair through use of barrettes, ties, clips, ribbons, and other similar hair accessories, provided the person does not use any product that alters the keratin of hair. You have a no revenue and a no fiscal impact on the A7 amendment, Madam Chair.
Representative Gilliam.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You accept a motion?
I would accept a motion. Unless you care to say anything about the bill.
Would you accept a sign-e-die motion?
I would not. I would like to, but the Speaker said I may not.
Okay. I just was checking. You know, Madam Chair, this is a supposed technical fix, but I think we should both consider the success of our film and television industry in Oregon and the folks that are helping make that happen by preparing actors and so forth for theatrical performance. But let us not forget the application to our own body. As I look on this dais from both ends, the theatrical performances, as noted by Representative Kenmer just now, are incredible. Let's just say, hypothetically, that you were asked as a state representative, for instance, to, let's say, bring the opening ceremony.
Oh, shit.
And sing. You know, it sounds like, oh, just grab your guitar. Into preparing for that theatrical performance.
Makeup looked great. What are you talking about?
It's not just hairspray and combs. There's a lot that goes into it. That's why I think it's important that we move this bill today and not only help the industry that we know to be film and television, but our own members as well.
I can make the motion too.
Madam Chair, as Vice Chair, I move the A7 amendment to Senate Bill 699A.
Vice Chair Gilliam has moved the A7 amendments to Senate Bill 699A. Is there discussion?
I just want to thank the Vice Chair for his motion.
You're welcome. And for you, I'm saying you're welcome. Is there other discussion? Is there objection? Seeing none, the motion passes. And now I'll accept another motion, the full motion.
The full motion. Let me just... And let me also say... No. Madam Chair... I move Senate Bill 699A to the floor with the due pass as amended recommendation.
Vice Chair Gilliam has moved Senate Bill 699A to the floor with the due pass as amended recommendation. Is there a discussion? Is there objection? Seeing none, the motion passes. Representative Williamson will be the carrier. Close the public hearing and work session. And with that, business being done for the day, meeting is adjourned. See you all adjourned. See you all.